When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in here in, well, I mean, it is the Sports Grid Network, and we are Game Time Decisions. I'm Joe Ranieri, stepping in for Kevin Walsh here tonight as we are getting ready, less than 24 hours from the start of week two in the NFL. And we've got some good news for teams, and of course, we've got some bad news for teams here. And you don't have to look very far than the New York Jets to understand how devastating that win. Ultimately, it was a great win in week one there, Monday night, prime time. They take down the Buffalo Bills, but four plays into the game, they lose Aaron Rodgers. And boy, oh boy, we finally got to hear, I believe, from Aaron Rodgers today. He did offer up his first public comments. Now, this happened a couple of days ago. It was confirmed yesterday that the Achilles was done. But there have been a lot of questions over the last 48 hours since it happened, including, well, we're talking about a 40-year-old quarterback here that is the rehab on an Achilles is not exactly a cakewalk, and he knows it. So there has been a lot of questions around, all right, so what has Aaron Rodgers got to prove at 40 years old trying to work back from an Achilles? Could this be the last of it? Could this be, that would have been it, the final four plays of his career, and his last play as a professional quarterback in the NFL would be where he blew out his Achilles on turf, in which everybody wants changed to grass here at this point across the NFL. Well, the answer appears to be no, as he did take to his Instagram account, thanking, of course, all the fans and everyone that has reached out to him. He did say that in all likelihood, he shall rise again. He said he's proud of his Jets at 1-0. That could mean Aaron Rodgers will go through the rehab and return to the New York Jets as a quarterback, as we welcome in our radio audience here, Sirius XM channel 159. On this Wednesday, it is Game Time Decisions on a Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, stepping in for Kevin Walsh, and we're talking about Aaron Rodgers finally with his first public comments about what's going on after the blown Achilles. And everybody knows, and you've heard here, we have Dr. Chow on, you've heard on all the shows here that it is not an easy rehab. However, with the questions about whether or not that would have been the last we have seen as Aaron Rodgers in the NFL, the answer is no. And he said that he shall rise again in an Instagram post alluding to the fact that he is not done, that he'll go through the rehab, and that he will be back. Now, the other good thing here is that Zach Wilson, and I'll say it now, guys, if you think the Zach Wilson we saw on Monday night having to come into that game four plays in, now, mind you, this is a kid that was pretty much already resigned to the fact that he's going to be backing up a Hall of Famer this year and that, you know, his time will eventually come again. Well, It came a little quicker, I think, than he thought it would. And he was thrown into a situation where, okay, you're the man now. The Zach Wilson of a year ago or the year prior, all right, or his rookie year, doesn't win that game in that situation in any way, shape, or form. That quarterback, Zach Wilson, they would have gotten blown out by 40-some-odd points. But that's not what happened. Zach Wilson, yes, a little shaky at times, but I can tell you a whole lot of teams and a whole lot of quarterbacks that look shaky in game one. Do you need to rewind the tape on Joe Burrow? No, actually, you don't, because he only threw for 83 yards. I'll save you the pain of having to watch that. So I'm just saying, not saying he's the end-all, be-all, but I do think the presence of Aaron Rodgers and him being around Zach Wilson and anybody who watched the show, Hard Knocks there, then you saw it. Aaron didn't alienate Zach Wilson. He kind of took him under his wing, and he's not going to disappear. He's going to be around the team. Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere. He will be on the sideline. He'll be in Zach Wilson's ear for the rest of the season. All you want to see is improvement game after game, because I think we can all agree that that Jet defense is a real defense. That is a championship quality defense. It's not a matter of whether the defense will get better. It's a matter of the offense getting a little bit better with Zach Wilson, and time will tell, but that hasn't stopped the market from running to the window and trying to play anybody and everyone that the Jets are going to be playing over the next couple of weeks, because they too appear to think that that was the Zach Wilson we got in his first 2 years. Well, if that was the Zach Wilson of his rookie year or last year, then how did Buffalo lose that game? I think it's not as dark days as most people think, and I do absolutely believe there is value in backing the Jets in certain spots moving forward here, especially in this game where the look-ahead line was 3. It is now 9, 9.5, guys, and rising. The total has been crashing, and that makes total sense because Dak Prescott didn't exactly light up the world against the Giants. Now, his defense and special teams, they set him up to be successful. But it wasn't like Dak Prescott threw for 350 yards and, oh, wow, he was so impressive. I still have a lot of question marks about the Dallas offense. They're going to go up against a real defense, and they're not going to go up against a defense like they did in the Giants, who was already trailing and on the field most of the time because Daniel Jones and the Giants offense couldn't get a first down. So I would slow the roll on fading the New York Jets in a win total. Their odds shot up almost 600% when it came to Super Bowl odds, division titles. There is a lot of football still to be played, and it's going to kick off tomorrow night as the Philadelphia Eagles will open up the season at home finally after barely, and I mean barely, winning in Foxborough. They'll get to come home 1-0, though, right? It just matters if you win the game. Well, they won the game, and they're going to be taking on the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins, who did everything in his power to make sure the Vikings lost that game to Baker Mayfield and company. And interesting enough, you've got a situation now where, all right, they outgained Tampa. They outplayed them. They lost the turnover battle. And that, of course, was the big reason as to why they ended up losing. But I can make an argument that Philadelphia looked, Jalen Hurts looked, that offense looked like an offense that hadn't played a down in preseason. Well, that's right. They hadn't. But yet, this is the time of year where the opportunities for value present themselves because of the overreactions to the results of week one. And everyone still seems to think that the Philadelphia Eagles are just going to steamroll everyone that they play. The injuries are mounting, and they're mounting quickly for the Eagles. They are going to be shorthanded on the offensive line, the linebackers, and the secondary. Not a great thing when you got Justin Jefferson coming to town. So we'll have much more on this game. We also have a whole lot else to talk about as game time decision continues next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, in for Kevin Walsh. Appreciate you hanging with us as we've got plenty of Major League Baseball underway right now here. A late slate of games, couple of early ones, but it's all going to culminate with a pretty good one coming up tonight at just after 10 o'clock Eastern as the Dodgers at home taking on the Padres, and Blake Snell, the favorite to win the Cy Young Award, taking a mound for those Padres. Can he get it done? Is there an angle to play in this game? Well, let's check in with our good friend Davis Maddock, who might have a same game parlay for us.
All right, guys, we are back for another same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Major League Baseball season really getting to the business end here as we find out who plays who in the playoffs. We've got our final game of the night, the San Diego Padres playing at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Blake Snell taking the mound for the Padres. Ryan Pepiot is pitching for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Obviously, Blake Snell, the far greater pitcher here. Unfortunately, the San Diego Padres season has really not gone the direction that they wanted it to. So we are going to begin our same game parlay by taking the Los Angeles Dodgers money line. They simply, 1-9, are the better team. They got Mookie Betts back from injury. Their pitching rotation remains a bit of a mess. I mean, certainly not where they wanted it to be heading into the postseason, but they do have one of the most dangerous lineups in the National League. So we are backing them even against Blake Snell, who is certainly having his best run as a member of the Padres. The next thing we're going to add into our same game parlay is the over on 9 total runs. I do think the way the Dodgers win this is on offense, not with a great pitching performance. That sets us up to add, you know, some other fun legs to our same game parlay as well. And the third leg we're going to add is my favorite bet in all of baseball right now, and that is Mookie Betts to record a run when he is the leadoff hitter for this potent Dodgers lineup. This three-leg same game parlay is going to give us plus 284 odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Dodgers money line, over 9 total runs, and Mookie Betts to record a run in this game. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right, Davis, we appreciate it. All eyes will be on that late game here as the Dodgers looking to continue to roll. Nice plus 284 parlay there. Love the Mookie Betts to record a run. I do think the over is not bad, a away look either. But if somehow, some way that Snell can leave the game with a lead and watch his bullpen melt down and give away the lead, at that point, the damage is already done, meaning he will have performed well enough, I think, to lock up the Cy Young Award. But quite honestly, I'm with Davis here at minus 132. How in the world are we not backing the Dodgers? And I think Snell has done a great job, except the Dodgers don't strike out all that often against lefties. They've hit them pretty darn well. And Snell has had those moments here this year where sometimes he loses the zone. He's done a great job of working out of bad situations that he has created for himself by walking a lot of guys. 65 walks on the season. It is the one thing that if you were a voter for the Cy Young, you'd look at all the other numbers are good. He hasn't pitched a ton of innings, but all the other numbers are good except for that 65 walks on the season. Not great for only, over 110 innings or so pitched. So it's the one thing that has been his nemesis, but to his credit, he works around them. But the Dodgers don't necessarily seem to be the team that that if you're walking and giving them free bases, it is going to end well for you. So it is a game worth keeping an eye on, because if he does well, I do think he wraps up that Cy Young Award there. And the other team that everyone is keeping an eye on, of course, is the Atlanta Braves. Why? Because they don't want to lose. They continue to hit home runs. They jumped out on a Austin Riley two-run home run there in the top of the first to take a 2-0 lead. It is 2-1 right now as the Phillies are not going anywhere. And the Braves, they're on a quest to win now, I believe, their sixth straight division crown here with a win tonight as they sit 95-50 on the season. And the Phils, 79-66. Strider on the mound for the Braves. It's one of the strangest lines I've seen all day because the money has not come in on the Atlanta side. It has come strictly on the Philadelphia side as they were close to a 185 favorite. And that was bet all the way down to about 160 even, minus 155. So a lot of money on the Phillies here tonight. And you wonder why, with Strider going, what is the market doing? Well, the market might realize that Strider's had a little bit of a head-scratching couple of starts here, especially much like we talked with Blake Snell, being a guy that sometimes loses the zone and gives teams free passes. Strider's the same way, and right now already in an inning and two-thirds, yes, he's got a couple of strikeouts, but yes, he also has two walks already in this game. So it'll be interesting. I believe Stott was the one who hit the home run for Philadelphia, solo shot. So 2-1, that game far from over. George Kurtz was on a little bit earlier, told us all about the over. Can't argue with him here, as three runs through two innings so far seems to be like the right side. We've also got nothing with Orioles and the Cardinals right now. Can Gibson get it done? The Orioles, how many of you had the Orioles at 91 wins or better this year? Well, you've already cashed that ticket if you did. 91-53 as they are looking to run away here if possible from Tampa and others in the American League East. Can they get it done after a loss last night to 95-year-old Adam Wainwright? Kind of hard to believe. Wainwright and his 65-mile-an-hour fastball somehow won himself a game on the road at Camden Yards last night. Don't know that they're going to be able to make it two in a row. And if runs is what you like, tune into the Pirates and the Nationals. It's 4-1 already, top of the third in that one. Reds on top of the Tigers, 2-0. And, the game that I'm going to be most interested in. Did anybody watch the Athletics beat the Astros last night? Why are the Athletics beating the Astros is maybe the best question to have. I don't know that it's going to happen again here tonight, but nothing as that game is just underway. Have no desire to lay nearly $3 with the Houston Astros here tonight because somehow, and Houston has been notorious this, guys, over the last 3 years, they play down to the level of competition. They get up for the better teams. But for some reason, the A's of the world, they have just the hardest time beating. It's been like that with Dusty Baker now for the last 3 years, and it seems to continue as we wrap up the regular season. Also, rain delay Yankees and Red Sox. That should have been the best series on everybody's mind this time of year. Yeah, but unfortunately, both of these teams have tea time coming up, I believe. Aruba, maybe the Bahamas. I know Brady Cannon knows all about some tea time here, and I think he actually booked both the Red Sox and the Yankees tea times. The season cannot end fast enough for these two teams who are knotted up at 73-72. And the only reason I bring that game up is because it's going to be interesting. It's never happened in Major League Baseball where every team in one division finishes above 500. Will it happen this season? We'll have to see if the Yankees and the Red Sox can continue to win a couple of games down the stretch. I have my doubts. Nothing, Rangers and Blue Jays as well here. And coming up, Brady Cannon is going to join us here fresh off the golf course because guess what? It's golf season again. What? He'll explain with some picks coming up this weekend as well here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. It is Game Time Decisions on this Wednesday on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri in for Kevin Walsh. We appreciate you joining us here as we've got Major League Baseball, obviously, on tap here tonight. We talked a little bit here about Thursday night football as week two of the NFL season is upon us. We've got college football, but do not forget, just when you thought it was safe to say, all right, golf is it's done, we'll shelve it until not the case here as we welcome in our good friend Brady Cannon. Nobody knows golf better than he does. And Brady, I mean, it was, we were just talking 2.5 weeks ago, I am watching Victor Hovland run away with the FedEx Cup, and we're all saying, all right, see you next year. I didn't realize next year was 2 weeks. Because that's kind of what is this season right now? What are we dealing with on the PGA Tour?
You know, back in the day, they used to call it the wraparound season or the silly season. You know, they kind of had to fill the gap there between, you know, late August, early September and January. And there's still quite a few tournaments like in the month of December that don't count. They're not official tour events, but what we have now is an official 7 set of tournaments, a fall series, they're calling it. It'll start tomorrow in Napa, California with the Fortinet. A couple good tournaments in this fall series, by the way. They'll be out here in Las Vegas in about a month. You've got the RSM Classic at Sea Island in Georgia, the Houston Open down at Memorial Park. So there's some real deal tournaments. And I think what the PGA Tour is trying to do is, you know, build the importance of these events. And the way they've done that this year is at the end of this fall series, the 7th and final event will be the RSM Classic in Sea Island in mid-November. And you've got to be at 125 or inside of that in the FedEx Cup points list to guarantee your tour card for 2024. Then they will take a solid 6 weeks off. Like I said, some kind of, you know, truly silly season events that don't even account, that don't even count, some limited field events, you know, like the father son deal and all that kind of, the skins game you and I were talking about, stuff like that. Yeah. Just made for TV type stuff. But the 2024 season will officially start in Kapalua at the Plantation Course, and that's going to be a great one because obviously what's happened in Maui over the summer, that'll be a great way to kick off the season and for the PGA Tour to be there at what is one of my favorite courses. So yeah, we've got 7 official events to bet on here for the next few weeks, and then we'll take another break. And again, I have to admit, Joe, this is football season for me and you both. I don't take my golf handicapping as seriously. I'm spending more time on football this time of year, but still diving in a little bit, making a few plays and see if we can make a couple bucks.
The interesting part about this one is that Max Homa has won it not just last year. He won it the year prior. So the Fortinet Championship, former Safeway, former, it's been like a million names over the years. It is in Napa, so I'm assuming most of the wine drinkers will absolutely be at this tournament if they can be. But 3 years in a row, is this something we're looking at? Is this a reality that he can actually do it again?
Well, I think he can. He's certainly one of the better players in the field. The field is pretty watered down. I mean, you've got a lot of solid journeyman players, but Max Homa and Justin Thomas are the class of the field for sure. Those are your two favorites. I mean, Max Homa not only looking to three-peat here, but he's also, you know, the odds-on favorite at like, you know, plus 750, I think, is the best number I've seen. I've seen under 7-1, you know, like plus 690 or so. So he's a pretty heavy favorite to get this done for a third year in a row. But I tell you, Joe, I went a little bit deeper down the board. The third choice, Sahith Theegala, who has finished 6th and 14th here in Napa in the past. He drives it plenty far. One of the correlated courses I looked at this week was TPC Scottsdale. He's finished third there. Another was Olympia Fields, where Victor Hovland just won about a month ago, the BMW Championship, and Sahith Theegala finished 15th there. I got him at 18-1, certainly one of the class players in this field, looking for his first PGA Tour victory. And he comes from Southern California, so he ought to be. Max Homa is a California kid too. So these California guys are very familiar with these Poana grass greens. So I'm figuring Theegala will have some familiarity on how to putt on these Poana greens as well. The second choice I went to was Eric Cole at 35-1. Did well at a correlated course, the Honda Classic. He got to a playoff there. Also, another correlated course with small Poana greens is Pebble Beach, where Cole finished 15th back in February earlier this year. And he's also a tremendous on approach and with the putter. He's 13th in this field the last 36 rounds for strokes gained approach, and he's 12th on tour in strokes gained putting. And then I took another guy that's very similar to Cole, Andrew Putnam at 40-1. Great on approach, great putter. And then I went with a couple of longer bombs. Kevin Streelman at 65-1. Great history in the state of California. Plays really well at Pebble Beach. He's got a third, a 14th, and a 25th here in Napa. And then finally, my longest bomb, Martin Laird at 135-1. He's finished 8th and 17th here in the past. Really good driver of the golf ball. Torrey Pines is another course that not only has Poana greens, but you've got to be long and straight off the tee. And Martin Laird has two top 10 finishes at Torrey Pines. He is long and straight off the tee. Also, I mentioned TPC Scottsdale, a correlated course for me. Martin Laird has four career top 10 finishes there. So I thought he shouldn't be as high as 135-1. Took a stab with him as well.
I mean, listen, Homa 2 years ago was 60-1 when he won it. Last year, he was 10-1. And I don't think he's sneaking up on anybody's radar here this year. But let's hope he's got his, you know, it's I got a beer. I'm defending champ. And let's see if I let some of those bigger price tickets cash for us, because that would be phenomenal. You mentioned it. It is football season, Brady, for us. So, as we look ahead here, getting ready tomorrow night, Thursday night football, week two, it is overreaction week here. Let me fill me in on some of the teams you're looking to maybe even bounce back in a good spot here in week two.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been popular on Twitter this week, teams bouncing, you know, overreaction week, and look for teams to bounce back. If you go back to 2010, teams that were double-digit losers in week one, they tend to bounce back in week two to the tune of 61% of the time. And some of those teams, the Chicago Bears, the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's kind of interesting. Two of those teams are playing each other, the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. So, you know, you're right. You just can't. I mean, I don't think you can dismiss a really good performance or a very poor effort. The Chicago Bears and I think the Seattle Seahawks probably played worse than I was already down on those two teams coming into the season, but I think they looked even worse than I thought they would be, as did Pittsburgh. But I tell you, going into week two, I don't believe Pittsburgh is truly that bad. And they were a home dog in week one. They laid an egg. They are now a home dog in week two, a Monday Night Football home dog. So I think this is a good spot for the Pittsburgh Steelers to get right and be one of those teams that falls into that 61% that bounces back after being beaten by double digits in week one. They're playing a division rival in the Cleveland Browns. And conversely, let's not overreact on the Browns too much either. They beat the heck out of the Cincinnati Bengals, but that was an ugly game in weather. I didn't think Deshaun Watson still looked great. Nick Chubb had a nice game. The defense was great. They really tore up that Cincinnati offensive line. Cincinnati obviously is smarting from losing those two safeties in the offseason. But Cleveland, I think Cleveland, I'm a real buyer on Cleveland this season. I don't think they looked great in week one, but they go, we talk about trends here, and trends are a lot of what we have to go on so early in the season. And one of the biggest one that I think you can hang your hat on more so than a lot of these very arbitrary ones is winning outright as a home dog and then the next week going into the role of road favorite. And that is really tough to overcome. And that's kind of like overreaction by the public bettors and the odds makers. They know that influx of money is going to come in that one direction. And a lot of times that line's inflated. So the Pittsburgh Steelers would be the play against that team in Cleveland that has gone from outright winner as a home dog into the role of road favorite the following week.
So I made the comment earlier, Brady, when it comes to the New York Jets and losing Aaron Rodgers, which obviously can't be replaced. But if you gave me, if that was the Zach Wilson of the last 2 years, you don't win that game on Monday night. You don't. You get blown out by 40 points. So is the overreaction justified here? I mean, we're looking at their, you know, their season win totals now getting crushed and their future odds. Can we all just slow down a little bit on sticking a fork in the Jets, or do you think it's over here at this point?
Well, how good is that defense? I mean, you know, the defense and the special teams won the game. It's hard. I did downgrade the Jets. You obviously, I think, have to. But a lot of people were talking 5 or 6 points of a downgrade. I think it's more of a 3 or 4 point downgrade. You're right. Zach Wilson has never come into a season better prepared. He's had the tutelage of Rodgers during the offseason. That defense is a monster, I believe. And I'll tell you what, Joe, I played the Jets plus the 9.5 this week. Haven't done anything with the futures markets, the win totals, you know, the AFC championship, what have you. I didn't touch any of that stuff, but you know, the fallen hero theory. We saw it with the Dallas Cowboys last year when Dak Prescott went down in week one. Cooper Rush comes in. Everybody goes nuts. Oh, my gosh. You know, the sky is falling for Dallas. They win outright. I think you might have a similar effort here out of the New York Jets. That defense will really step up once again. I think they can certainly come inside 9.5.
I just feel it's my duty to remind everyone, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Brady Cannon, appreciate the time, my man. Game Time Decisions continues next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network on this Wednesday, and we've got much going on in the world of sports. Plenty of Major League Baseball underway already. A couple of pretty good games coming up a little bit later here this evening, culminating with the Dodgers and Padres in what should be a good one. But we also have, of course, Thursday night football, 24 hours from now. But let us not forget, gotta love postseason. And that's exactly what we got with the WNBA. That, too, is beginning tonight. And we bring in the man who will be in this chair taking you guys through all of it at the top of the hour, Scotty Wetzel. He'll be hosting in-game live here at the top of the hour. Him and the consigliere, Dave Sherapin. And, Scotty, we got some baseball we're going to get to here, but I know you have been on in-game live all season. Little birdie tells me you've been cashing a lot of in-game tickets in the WNBA, so you definitely have your finger on the pulse. How are we approaching these games? What are you looking at here tonight?
Yeah, we got the start tonight, Joe. We got a even if you can't spell play tonight as well, which I'll get to here in a second. But we're gonna start with three futures. It's kind of weird in that they have two games tonight, none tomorrow, and then two more on Friday. I'm not exactly sure how that all kind of works itself out. You wouldn't think day number two of your postseason you'd have a dark day, but the WNBA does. Anyway, so hard not to like the Liberty, right? We'll begin there. You get plus 145 on FanDuel right now. $100 bet will net you 145. That was up to like 3, almost 4-1 when Las Vegas was on its major run. But that's come way back. But I do think the Liberty, you know, is going to win. So when push comes to shove, we like that. But here's our over. Well, here's our even if you can't spell. I always tell people, right, when we talk WNBA, when you and I do this show, and we get emails all the time, at least I do. Scott, no one likes the WNBA. Stop talking about it. Move on. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, listen, I get it. You know, could you really quickly name all 12 teams? I don't think so, right? Nobody can. But you don't have to, Joe, be able to spell WNBA to know that Chicago at Las Vegas tonight, 10 o'clock, Last 29 meetings between these two teams, 22-6-1 to the over. So, again, I mean, with that kind of trend, how can't you bet the over? Sky, which is Chicago, 7-1 against the spread run. Nice little run there. Over one, 5-1 over against winning teams. Aces, 4-1 over the last five. Aces, the home team, 24-16 over. So we got nothing but over trends. You don't have to love the WNBA. You just bet it. So I think that's the best play on the board tonight.
I love it. Over. And I will say this about the Aces. Because their numbers are usually so over the top, you're double digits all over. And, you know, the few times that we've covered their games on In Game Live, they were down early in the first half, and you were able to jump in and get them at a much better price than you were, you know, pre-flop. So, you know, you kind of hope a team like the Aces, who usually saves their best for the second half, Scotty, and some of these in-game betting opportunities I have found, including maybe the scoring not as plentiful as you think. And guess what? That 170 drops to 165, 160, and they all end up scoring 180 anyway. The Aces have been great in-game betting this year.
Yeah, they really have. I mean, even tonight it's 16. I mean, who wants to play 16 in a basketball playoff game, no less, right? I mean, you don't want to do that, so you kind of hope that they get off to a slow start, and maybe that number creeps down to 12, maybe 10, something along those lines. Chicago's going to be about one of their better players. Cooper, she averages 16 points a game, got a toe injury her last game, so that's going to hurt Chicago's cause. So I don't doubt Las Vegas, if they wanted to, probably could win by 17, but you're right, Joe, you're better off kind of waiting. Let the numbers, you know, slide down just a little bit. Just take the bite off of that, because you could be leading by 20 in the fourth quarter, and you end up not covering because they only win by 12 because they took the foot off the pedal. So, but Aces are very good, you know, with a lot of Liberty's like that as well. You know, they fool around for about a half and then they turn it on second half.
86.5 in the first half of that game. 170 full game. So, I'm with you. I'm going both. First half and full game over here, because neither one of these teams is going to play any defense, Scotty. We've learned that. And most Aces games end up near 180 anyway. So, why not in a playoff atmosphere? It should be a whole lot of fun here. We learned today, Scotty, in Major League Baseball that the Rangers spent money not only on Jacob DeGrom, but Max Scherzer, and neither will be available to whom when it matters the most. So I can't think of a worst GM job here, where the Mets, who had to dismantle the entire team, or the Rangers, who spent $500 million on two pitchers who can't help them make the playoffs.
Yeah. And they made sure that Scherzer locked in his contract for next year. Like, he had an out, but the Rangers said, we're not going to trade for you unless you guarantee, you know, you're picking up that $45 million option next year. So they're on the hook, right? I mean, who's the poor sap tonight, Joe? Right? I mean, think about it. Two nights ago, we got Aaron Rodgers. You know, he can't get out of the first, drive of the game without ending his season. Last night, we got Max Scherzer. He can't get out of the fifth inning without ending his season. So who's the poor sap tonight? What superstar is going down? Because we all know these things happen in threes. So if I'm a fan of, pick a player who might be playing tonight, you know what? Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, get out of the lineup. Don't play tonight. Let someone else be that guy.
Bad issues across the board here. The Braves are up 4-1 right now. Hard to believe here, Scotty, that this would be now. I think they win tonight. They clinched the National League East division title 6 years now. It would be six in a row, which is absolutely mind-blowing. Because you remember a couple years ago when Freddie Freeman was there, they went to the, you know, it was... But they have been a consistent force that nobody talks about in the National League East now. It feels like forever. They're going to do it again. Is it just Atlanta and Dodgers world? That's the World Series in everyone's book we should look forward to? Because maybe that's the best series we could look forward to.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about Phillies, maybe the Phillies, but you're right about the Braves. You know, we should go back and look. They had that great run, right, you know, in the 80s and 90s. How many did 16, 17, 18 straight division championships? So, like over the last 30 years, I think they've won like literally 25, right? Maybe Washington when they won the World Series.
Right. But they were a wild card.
Miami maybe when they won a World Series, but it hasn't been just a couple. That's it. It's amazing they only have the two World Series to show for it. But
yeah, those are the two best teams.
But I do think the Dodgers, they got some issues, though. I saw today where they basically kick your eyes off the team. I don't know if you saw that or not, but they cleaned out his locker. Yep. That's it. They're done. They took his memorial down. Any pictures of him around, and they canceled the bobblehead night that they had planned later this year. So, I mean, you think about it. You know, no Walker Buehler, gone. Tony Gonsolin, gone. Urias, gone. Trevor Bauer, if you want to go that far, gone. I could see them getting knocked off. The lineup is second to none, right? But I could see them getting knocked off in the postseason. If you get a team that just happens to have a couple of hot pitchers, Philadelphia would be the one.
Philadelphia wrote it last year. They got hot at the right time. They certainly have some of the pieces. The Dodgers tonight taking on the Padres and Blake Snell, and I've said it all show long, Scotty. I think if Snell comes out here tonight and leaves with the lead, I don't care what the bullpen does, but if he dominates, I think he wraps up the Cy Young. You can't look at Justin Steele. I think if he goes in tonight, he's only got a couple of, another start maybe in him. He wins this game tonight. He's already minus 220. What else is there to prove at this point with him? He wins tonight. He wins the Cy Young and wraps it up.
Yeah. I tell you what, and they win his games. You know, he might not have the win-loss record in the end, but, that's 2023 baseball, right? Who cares about that anymore? The Padres 8-1, Joe, in his last 9 starts. And if you take out, the first month or so, when he and the Padres were really awful and they lost, his first 4 or 5 starts, I mean, it's almost amazing how often they win when this guy pitches. Outside of a couple of bad outings in that streak, really since May, I'll say mid-May, I mean, he really has been phenomenal. His issue is he just takes 100 pitches to get through 5 innings. You know, that's his problem. But I don't know. It'll be interesting if they want to give it to a guy. He's not going to have a lot of wins. Team didn't do very well. It'll be interesting. If Gallen can win tonight, I know he's losing early on against the Diamondbacks pitcher. You know, I'm thinking of if Zach in Arizona get in, maybe he would get the nod just because they're a playoff team and San Diego is not. I don't think he necessarily locks it up tonight.
It's interesting, too. His last 20 starts, 116 innings, he's only given up 6 homers. And you're right. The biggest problem with him is 65 walks that he has on a year. But the guy has spent the entire year not allowing that to hurt him. So you want to talk about scrambling, a guy that figures out how to create his own disaster but gets out of it. He's done it all. And it should be noted, he won this. Remember, Scotty, with Tampa? And then he got traded. And then they traded him to the Padres. So we all laughed at it and said, Tampa knew what they were doing. But the guy has been absolute money for him. He's going to have to beat the Dodgers again tonight to have a shot to lock it up. Mets news. I heard they zoned in on a guy now to overtake that disaster of a franchise, Scotty, in your neck of the woods. I believe Stearns is taking it over, the guy that helped build the Milwaukee Brewers. Small market, not a lot of money. He did a pretty good job there, but I got to imagine the days of Buck Showalter are numbered here, are they not?
I would think so, right? I don't know, honestly, if it's necessarily his fault, but when is it really the manager's fault, ultimately? It is the manager's job to get the guys to perform at their level. And they didn't. So, if you want to go from that standpoint, it is his fault. I wouldn't be too secure if I'm the general manager as well, because they were going after this guy Stearns for a little while. I don't know why he didn't come over last year, but I know they were trying to get him then and he didn't. So now he's ahead of the GM. So the GM, who had a pretty good, accord right there with the owner, now got to go through a middleman. So I wouldn't be too secure in my job if I'm the GM of the Mets either. So I think they can blow out that whole front office and just say, you know what? we tried, we failed. You guys were part of this, bringing all these high-priced players in, signing all these guys to monster contracts. I think crazy contracts. None of them have performed at the level of the money that they're getting. So, and I think the Met fan wants something new as well, Joe. I mean, you got to give, you know, if you're not going to bring in high-priced talent, like he's the owner, you know, it's kind of indicated, Steve Cohen, that he's not going to do again this year. Then you have to change something to get the fan to go to the season ticket window and buy season tickets in the wintertime.
Yeah, well, it's Trout is on the market. You've been screaming. I will say this. Mr. Opposite Big has been screaming about this most overrated baseball player is finally maybe on the block here where the Angels have no choice but to trade him and start from scratch here because Ohtani certainly isn't coming back here. But it should be an interesting offseason for not only the New York Mets, the Yankees, Trout, Ohtani. A lot more questions to be answered here in Major League Baseball in the next couple of months. Of course, we will crown a champion, I think, on Christmas, right? Because that's how long the Major League Baseball season goes now. Scotty Wetzel, appreciated in-game live coming up next. We'll be back to wrap it up here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions as we wrap up this edition. Joe Ranieri in for Kevin Walsh here on this Wednesday. We've got Major League Baseball on tap here tonight. The WNBA playoffs begin. And, of course, In-Game Live is coming up next here. Scotty Wetzel, Dave Sharapan, they'll have you right through here, the start of a number of these games. And just seeing now coming across the board, the hits keep coming in Major League Baseball. When I mean hits, I mean injuries, because the Marlins have just placed Sandy Alcantara on the injured list because of a strained flexor in his right forearm. What does that mean? Well, think exactly what they've got going on now with Ohtani. We've got a UCL sprain, and they are a game and a half out of the wild card spot, and their ace starting pitcher not going to be available to them to try and get it done and make the playoffs. So that is just unfortunate there. But when you look at the amount of innings that Alcantara has pitched and 619 innings since 2021, not 2018, since 2021, 619 innings he has thrown. And unfortunately, he won't be throwing any more this year. So that is a tough break coming off the heels of Scherzer being shelved. We learn now for the Texas Rangers. It's unfortunate for both of those franchises, but the game rolls on. And speaking of games here, we talked about the Dodgers and the Padres here tonight. That'll be your late game. And I just can't pass up the opportunity. And I like Blake Snell. Don't get me wrong. I think he's deserving of what the Cy Young Award, and he's the favorite right now at minus 220. But I do think the Dodgers ultimately win this game at a minus 130 price, minus 132 at home. Very hard for me to pass up the Dodgers. So that is where I am heading with a best bet. Don't go anywhere. In-game live primetime coming up next year on the grid. Have a good night.